Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life. Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
Everybody goes through changes, decisions. looking for a sign how to make it. Gotta keep our minds focused way before our time.
In the doom and gloom, we got to learn from the experience, from the shared experience. We got to learn that this life is about change and evolution. If you try and hold on to the past, your fingernails are going to snap. So you don't want to hurt yourself. Let go, let go, let go and fly and open to a whole new way of learning, a whole new way of teaching, a whole new way of living. Our life depends on it. We are our children and our children, they are us. So how we treat them, we reap the benefit. And, you know, some of them might end up putting us in a nursing home because we didn't do what we needed to do. But we are making sure on Life Conversations Radio that even if they choose to put you in a nursing home, it's going to be the best. They're going to be there all the time. And it's all about transition. We're all going through it, growing through it. And you never know what's ahead of you. So you better take care of now. Julie Dexter reminding us about transitions. That's what life is about. If you're not growing, you are dead. So stay alive and flow with the change. You are listening to Life Conversations Radio. And yes, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, transitions continues, and you make a difference. It's another day, another moment to share, to inspire, to be a catalyst for transformation. My dear friend, my dear sister, it's here, Michelle Brown Stafford. She's out there inspiring change. They say, Michelle, are you sure that can work? She said, trust me, I got evidence. People are like, well, I don't know. She said, trust me, just listen to me for a minute. You'll get it. Some people are saying, oh, I don't know. And some people are saying, wow, I didn't know. That's so simple. Yes, there's more opportunity to grow. Welcome, welcome. I want to welcome all of you in the chat room, on the phone line. Betty is back in the chat room. It's nice to see you, Betty. You're on the phone. Tamara is in the house. Celeste is in the house. Donna is in the house. The mothers are in the house. Now, all we got to do is just, well, maybe what I need to do is tell you mothers to send the show out to all the brothers out there, to all the fathers, and say, listen, I mean, just 15 minutes of your time today. Devoted to expanding your consciousness and learning something new, because we're talking about educating boys. That's one solution. Get fathers involved. Ooh, where did that come from? It comes from where everything comes from. So I let it be. I let it be. Yes, today it's time for conscious parenting with myself, life coach Ade, and Michelle Brown Stafford. And conscious parenting, before I give you a quickie, what is it? You know, we've been listening, some of you are used to conscious parenting. You may be listening for the first time. Conscious parenting is an hour show. Yes, it's an hour show now. So hosted by Life Coach Ade, Michelle Brown Stafford. And really, the idea of the show is to, it's for parents, it's for teachers, support to our caregivers, to support our children, our teenagers in developing an emotionally balanced human being. Really, it's about developing the whole human being, mind, body, spirit. And let's not leave the emotions out. If you're not emotionally balanced, you'd be emotionally out of balance. And when you're emotionally out of balance, you're angry, you're frustrated, you don't have time, you're stressed, you can't even listen to solutions. You just want to hold on to blame and judgment. So this is the show for you, even if you don't have children, because we are one. We are one. I'm going to bring my friend on in a minute. But before I do that, real quick, just some quick announcements here. 2 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time. My other friend, I'm just surrounded by beautiful friends. And as a matter of fact, speaking of beautiful friends, Betty did a page of all our hosts on Life Conversations Radio. And sometimes I get so caught up in what I'm doing that I don't even realize what's going on. I looked at that page, I'm like, I'm the only guy. But then I said, come on, of course. You know, I'm surrounded by queens. I'm not tripping. I don't need another host, a male host. I got this territory. Stop it. Teachers are listening and principals are listening. They might not take the show seriously. But that's on them if they can't lighten up. So anyway, going right back to what I was saying, Ancestral Blueprints, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Lisa Iverson. Today we are talking about the soul time versus linear time. Get to figure out what's the difference and how do we use both to support us. And this Friday and Saturday, for those of you who missed it, my dear friend and I, Dr. Stephanie Sears, we are hosting the teleconference on Friday, The Business of Being, and the webinar on Saturday. If you're not on our mailing list, if you missed it, you want to make sure you get a reminder, the email address is info@thebusinessofbeing.com. info@thebusinessofbeing.com, and put in a subject box, transform my business now. The Business of Being is where we teach you how to do business with the universe, how to use the spiritual principles, the universal laws to support who you are, where your business is an extension of you, because that's why you're here. It's all about who you are and expressing that in your business, in your day-to-day activities, whatever you're doing. There's a sense of wholeness as opposed to wearing so many masks, and sometimes you forget who you are. And we're here. We'll make sure we keep reminding you who you are on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Conscious Parenting with Michelle Brown Stafford. Let me bring my dear friend, my sister, my soul friend, my soul family. I'm running out of title. Child prodigy, mom, the transformer, the change maker, the leading edge.
How are you doing, Michelle? Listen at you. I am splendid. How are you, Ade?
Oh, I am overjoyed. I am on top
of the
world.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm in heaven.
I'm telling you, I was just listening to your banter, and I'm just getting inspired myself. It's like, oh, my God. Let me just have some of that, you know?
And so it is. And so it is.
Good for you, hon. Well, here's the thing. You know, we're gonna do it again, right, Ade? We're gonna have another one of those riveting shows.
Yes.
Continuing our discussion about boys. So I'm really excited about this part of our discussion. It's gonna be very solution oriented. So.
Indeed. You know, and that's what I was thinking about. What was coming up for me is this. You know, currently now we're talking about about the education system in Atlanta and the changes going through, and people are complaining, and the teachers are this, and the parents are that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But what's coming up for me is, it's really, we're being asked to change. We're being asked to change the way we think, the way we do things, and
some
hold on to the old, and it's time to change.
I think that's the thing, and we're talking across the board. Everyone who is associated with this system, you're absolutely right. From the parents to the administrators to the board, you know, educational board members, I mean, you're right. The whole system needs to be revamped. And so my thing is, when I talk to my parents, it's like, look, as the system undergoes its metamorphosis, I want you all to, you know, because your sons or your daughters don't have to necessarily become, what do you call that? They don't have to suffer as the system changes, you know. So that's one of the reasons why I'm out here doing what I'm doing. So I'm glad you brought that up, because you're absolutely right. It's just time. It's time.
Because people can rejoice. I mean, the board already get it. They've been changed. They've been moved because it's about change.
Yeah.
But if
it
we
is.
Keep thinking, thank God the board has gone, now we can do what we need to do. Well, you can, but you have to change as well, or you will get
you
moved
go.
Out of office. So,
there you go. Absolutely.
Words to the wise. So you want to continue the conversation about educating boys, effective ways to educate them, solutions, and we also want to talk about homeschooling. So how do you – I let you just do what you do and then
let me be a student
and just listen to you.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. There are maybe a lot of new people listening in, especially since this whole Essence article has hit the newsstand. But the thing is, last segment we talked a little bit about what – were some of these things that were affecting our sons in the classrooms. And I think we touched a little bit on the statistics in some educational categories. Like, yeah, it showed that some of the boys were slipping in some categories, but they were downright struggling in others. And so me being the person that really don't like to stay in the energy of the problem, really, I just like to go right straight to the solution. There are a couple things I do want to talk about, though, or hit on real quick for the new parents. One, and this is just something that seemed to be common sense to us, like, for instance, that there are lack of male teachers in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a mom, I really didn't get how this could really affect boys. But the thing is, even with me raising my son, there are some things about him, his energy, that I don't necessarily get. And so thank goodness my husband is there to kind of even things out to help me to understand and channel his own energy into something that's more positive. Well, hey, the male teachers in the classroom do the same, you know, because they can relate to the boys, you know, jumping up and down or not being able to sit still or whatever, and they can channel that energy into more positive outcomes. So that was one thing that, you know, really got my attention. The other one is a lot of times teachers, especially, again, I'll say it, you know, and not all boys are the same. I'm not trying to generalize here, but I think there are some things that we kind of miss, teachers as well as parents, you know, the moms. But there are teaching strategies that may not take into account how boys learn or process information. For instance, now, my son and I had gone to one of the schools in Metro Atlanta, and we had met with this wonderful headmaster at a prominent Christian school. And he himself said, you know, that they were starting to implement different things in their school that allow for boys to actually be able to vent that energy, like, in other words, restoring recess, because he said himself, boys will be boys. And so that was pretty good to hear that from a headmaster, you know. So anyway, little things like that that we kind of take for granted. And then, you know, there's been some things about, oh, the classrooms seem to be more feminized or what have you. You know, again, I just wanted to hit on that just a little bit for the new parents. But now, look here, getting to the solution. The first thing I want to say is I want parents out there of sons to just think about this mantra, because it was something that I thought of when I realized that, hey, we may have a different kind of kid on our hands when I started working with my son when he was about 2 or 3. And growing up hearing the grim statistics about male, you know, kids like Stephen, who, you know, pretty much were going through all kinds of struggles in the school systems, black males particularly. But I remember saying to myself, no, not my son. And so I wasn't the only parent to say that. I mean, really think about what that means, not my son. In fact, there are some other parents who have been successful in saying the same thing. I mean, let's think real quick. I want to just talk about Thomas Edison's mom. When he couldn't sit still in the classroom, the teacher said he was a bit addled. That was the word he used. And thought that Tom Edison couldn't be taught. The mother heard what the teacher said, was very upset, and she said the same thing, not my son. Dr. Benjamin Carson's mom, same thing. You know, they were in Detroit, and she didn't want her sons to, you know, pretty much end up out in the streets and, you know, doing their thing or whatever. So her attitude also was not my son. I mean, it goes on and on. And so, I'm saying this idea for parents to think of using this mantra and saying it not from a state of denial. Like, if you know your son is doing, you know, come on. I mean, we're not talking about just glossing over some things here, okay?
Right.
But we're talking about, again, from a conscious perspective, meaning you are doing your job as the parent, and you are consciously putting things in place that will keep your son from falling through the educational cracks.
Yes, yes. Let me ask you something there, Michelle. You know, because people
will
hear this, and, you know, there's this saying that it's easier said than done. And my thing is, yes, if it's easier said than, and you think it's easier said than done, it's because you recognize that it's easy. So if you recognize it's easy, it can be done. So you're giving these tips, and let's talk about you briefly here, you and Stephen. What is it about Stephen and you and your husband that made you say, not my son? I mean, why didn't you just say, well, okay, maybe the teacher is right? What was it about you and your husband that said, let's look at this closely. Let's not just give up too soon.
Okay, yeah. Well, first of all, we are from Detroit, Michigan. And if you know anything about Detroit, the main economy there was built on the auto industry, and that was in such a decline. And we had seen so many brilliant people just, you know, struggling economically. And so we were living a different kind of reality out there because we were college-educated people, all right? But the thing was, again, like I said, I had grown up listening and hearing the statistics of black males. And I'm from a family of all girls. I mean, I'm telling you, everybody in the house was female, with the exception of my dad. And so when this beautiful little boy was born to me, I just knew, okay, I wanted something different for him. I just did. And there, I'm going to be honest with you, there was a little fear there, too, that kind of fueled this whole thing. And when I saw this little kid bouncing up around, you know, the house and exploring different things, and I'll never forget this. I think I mentioned this before on the show. The turning point for me was there was one particular afternoon. Stephen was about 18 months, all right? Now, like I said, he was exploring. He was doing his thing. But when I saw this little kid, this toddler, push this chair up to the microwave stand, okay, we had like a tall microwave stand at the time. Stephen pulled open the microwave. Now, he doesn't even know that I'm there. I'm like hiding somewhere, you know, just looking on, checking his kid out. And he's actually processed. I can see his mind working, processing. He closed the door, the light goes off. Open the door, the light goes on. And he wasn't two yet, and he knew not to put his little fingers in it. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, I could have freaked out and stopped him when I saw him pull the chair up to the weapon, but I wanted to see where it would go. And when I noticed that he could actually learn a lot at that beginning then, and I said, that's when I made the decision, let's try to channel some of this into some academics, because it was almost like something, I don't know if you call it spirit or what have you, like, okay, it begins now with this kid. And so that's exactly what happened. Yeah, and ever since then, Ade, we got a glimpse before Stephen was, 4 years old, five, of what this kid can do. And every subsequent decision based on education was made from that perspective. It had to, whatever we did, it had to nurture who Stephen was.
And you know what I get from that is you were open enough to allow your son to teach you as well.
There you go. That's exactly what occurred.
He taught you that, hey, this is who I am. Recognize my gift, my talent, the spirit within me, the power within me, the potential within me, whatever you want to call it, whatever. We're not attached to whatever you call it. But your son said, listen, I am more than this little body, and you listen, you paid attention. Sometimes we say, what do they know? They're children. And now, is he in his second year in Morehouse now, right?
Yeah, actually going into his third year, yeah. So we're hoping to wrap this up.
And how old is he?
He turned 15 in April, so he'll graduate before he's 18, for sure. By 17, maybe,
Okay, well, just for you listeners and people who are thinking, yeah, people get on this call and they talk about, but really, Michelle is not just reading off a book or pulling information from the internet. She's sharing her life experience with everybody. And it can be done. It has been done. It's not for the chosen few. It does require a sense of openness and awareness so that we can do things differently. And I know we live in a world where doing things differently is not always easy, but your life depends on doing things differently.
Yes. I love to say this to people. Listen, you cannot think like the masses or continue to think like the masses and achieve or expect something different, period. You just cannot. And if you don't mind, I would like to respond to what you said about some parents thinking, yeah, that's easier said than done. But I always say, well, let me ask you this. How easy is it for you now when this kid is like 13 or 14 and he's totally detached from education? Totally detached. Don't want to have anything to do with the book. You know, you got to fight him to go to school.
Right.
Or like that young brother in Florida who was standing on that corner, his mom made him wear that sign that said that he had a grade point average or GPA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How easy is that, you know? So it does start when they're young. And I want to just say this. Some time ago I had heard on, I think it was MSNBC or something, well, they had this wonderful segment called Education Nation or something, and they were talking about with African-American boys, or with boys, a lot of boys, you know, in general, but the problem starts before they even enter into the system, in other words, into school. And so that got me to thinking, once again, it makes sense because when you look at the, I guess, the boys or the men that were viewed as exceptional or genius once they, you know, got older, when they were little, like, for instance, this guy named Terence Powell, he is, I hope I'm saying his last name right, but he is considered the Mozart of mathematics. This kid, when he was little, he was two, watching something like Sesame Street. He taught himself the alphabet watching Sesame Street. And his parents took him by his hand and, you know, started working with him. And he has blown all kinds of, I mean, blown the whole field of mathematics off the whatever, off the charts. Because, again, parents started when he was young. Of course, Tiger Woods, look what his dad did with him when he was little. Mozart. This young man named Shoyano, who started medical school at age 12. Now, something else was going on with Sho. But the point is, those boys, I mean, those parents were kind of, they were astute enough to start when they were very, very young, preschool age.
Right. I mean, that's a very good point that you're bringing up, the whole thing about starting with them when they're young. And even what we're sharing, I mean, there's some of the solutions are specific to boys, but starting when they're young, we saw it with the Williams sisters, where the father was taking them to the court practicing.
Right.
And we see the result today. You know, it's really about starting young. We have a question in the chat room, speaking of starting young.
Sure.
The question in the chat room is one thing to recognize a child's talent and another knowing how to foster it. What kind of research and materials did they use to foster and grow that talent? So what kind of materials and reach? I did ask what she meant by research, but maybe something that, I don't know, but maybe she'll clarify that. What kind of research and materials did you use to foster Stephen's talent?
Well, with academics, it's pretty easy at that age. Again, we're talking 2.5 or preschool age. And I always say that I didn't start with a hardcore regimented curriculum. It was very light. You know, they had computer programs at the time. We had just, I mean, we were talking like early 90s or mid-90s, excuse me, just gotten a computer and some computer games. And one of the games that Stephen loved was something called Jumpstart. And this Jumpstart's still out, I believe. Because he loved the bells and whistles, the colors, the animation, it caught his attention, and it was very repetitive. And then, of course, there was something called Math Rabbit and Reading Rabbit, those kinds of things. Another thing was, because Stephen was a boy, and I'll go to Marty a little in a minute, you know, she's a girl, but we're talking about, again, ball of energy, you know, bouncing off the walls, this kid was just ridiculous. And so I didn't go against the grain with him. You know, whenever I could get his attention and make him sit for a couple of minutes, I knew that I had, first of all, a short period of time to teach him something. And a lot of times I used manipulatives. Now, we're just talking about things that boys like to, you know, play with their hands. Stephen used to like to build stuff. So there's a lot of building blocks going on, puzzles he loved as well. But he was more, again, more of a computer. Obviously, now he is a computer person. He was more about, using the computer. Now, there are some other boys who like to build. Like I said, we can go back to the building things. They like to do that kind of stuff. Or anything that you can do to teach them when they're that age, more so hands-on, or something that's very engaging. Because, again, you are competing with all the other stimuli around the house. So there's the bookstores are full of stuff. I mean, you got B-Tech educational toys that are just ridiculous. In fact, let me just share this really cute story. I had gotten Stephen accustomed. At first, it was just a minute or two here, just any little thing that I can do to teach him every day. Then, of course, I had expanded to 5 or 10 minutes a day. Now, I had also bought a little B-Tech toy. If you guys check on the website, you'll see they have all kinds of things from preschoolers on up. And those toys back then were hard, right? I mean, they were some big things. And I made the mistake of, because Stephen had gotten accustomed to this time we spent together. Well, I was trying to take a break one day. And I'm laying down watching TV. This kid brings his B-Tech toy that day, hits me in the head with it. Because this thing is, time, you know, he wanted to play.
Wow.
So in other words, yeah, keep it light, keep it fun. In fact, let me suggest this. Go to any website. For instance, I'll give you Scholastic.com, one of my favorites that I recommend to parents. They have what they call a checklist, like a kindergarten checklist, which your child should know before entering kindergarten. And I'm going to tell you, use that as a basis, because once your child masters one concept, check it off, go to the next one. And also I'll say, please keep it fun. At that age, it's all about play. And if you can integrate the learning with the play, it sticks with the child longer, and they'll really want to do it. It keeps them eager.
Yes, yes.
Sorry, I know that was long-winded, but...
No, it's needed. I mean, you covered a lot there. And if you want to find out more, Michelle has on her website, gifted-spirit.com. You can find out some more information, gifted-spirit.com. And Nahali in the chat room, who was asking the question, said, I'm using alphabet pieces that sticks to the walls during the bath time to teach letters and colors. At 2, his attention span is very, very short. And I want to say this about that very, very short. I don't know how you mean it, but don't look at it as a negative thing. I mean, it's almost like saying, as opposed to what? And he's 2. And really, they teach us how to live in the moment.
They do.
They teach us how to live in the moment.
Yes, they do.
So what Michelle is saying is, keep it fun. Now, no matter how fun it is, that doesn't mean they won't want to pick up another game or another thing to do.
There you go.
You have to be flexible enough to not say, oh, God, now I don't want to play another game. You got to let your children teach you as well.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, okay. Excellent point. I love it. But you're right. Don't look at the short attention span as a bad thing. In fact, I used to, whenever we were done with our little sessions, whenever Stephen wanted to go and do something else, I would follow him. And whatever he was interested in, teach everything about the environment to him, you know. But when President Obama mentioned something about a teachable moment, I mean, you will be surprised at the teachable moments that occurs to you with you and your little one at that age. Mm. But here's the thing. I know we need to get to the older boys. Well, let me just recommend a few other things for the preschool age, okay? Guys, here's the thing. The big thing now with boys is the literacy. Boys hate to read. And the thing is, and I have to say, there's a Dr. Kirk, I hope I'm saying his name right. Oh, my God. He's a professor in New Hampshire. It's Dr. Thomas Newkirk, that's his name. And he talks about, and I feel him on this, boys can read. The thing is, they have a slower start than girls. It's been said that boys are not as verbal as girls. But the thing is, I mean, first of all, I have never let what people have identified to be problems with boys affect our reality. It's just, that was just not in the cards for us. But what Dr. Newkirk was saying was that, with the exception of the slow start, boys can read just as well as girls. The thing is, you have to be a lot more creative when it comes to boys, and you have to find books that boys are interested in, not just what you're interested in. So my suggestion is take your little son to a Barnes & Noble or Borders or whatever. I don't know, one of those bookstores. I'm sorry. I don't know if I should say that, but.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay. But, let them in on the process. Let them pick out books that appeal to them. And we're talking about picture books to start off with, okay? And then, of course, gradually increase the rigor of the book, like get the early readers one and then two and then so on and so forth. But the point is, you want them to be interested in reading, so you need to get something to appeal to them. And then trust me, you'll start to build momentum, and they'll have an interest in reading. That's just one thing, okay?
Yes.
Let me offer something else in regards to literacy. Phonics is something that has been taken out of a lot of schools. Don't know why. That was a shock to me because we had it when we educated here, you know, in the Stafford household. So, but anyway, guys, there are some free educational websites that are available that you can start to kind of expose your child to in terms of phonetics. All right. One is starfall.com. That's S-T as in Tom, A-R-F-A-L-L, all one word, .com. The other one, of course, is PBS. And we all know PBS, right? Kids.org. And reinforce them daily at home. If you allow your child to work on the websites with them for 5 or 10 minutes, because they are fun, have the bells and whistles as well, make sure that when they're offline that you find all kinds of opportunities to reinforce it. It works, trust me, okay? And I think that's it. Yeah, because I mentioned things like puzzles and stuff, so those are also good for preschool boys.
And, you know, when you talk about this, what I get as well is, you know, it's really observing what your child enjoys doing and use that as a teaching tool. And I think that's really something to pay attention to.
But that's basic. But it goes back to what we had said before in another segment about respecting who the child is, listening to the child and respecting who they are. And the thing is, one parent, I have to share, this is so lovely. One mom called And she said, Ms. Stafford, you don't remember me. This is long before all this stuff had happened. But she had gotten in touch with me about her son. Son is very good in mathematics today. He was with his sister. They went to math camps and stuff. And this young man shows, a good talent, a natural talent for mathematics. Well, one particular year, the sister had moved on. She's gotten older. The mom wanted to continue the son in the camp. The little boy does not want to go. So he's telling her, he's too young to articulate why. He just didn't want to. Well, the mom's getting all kind of pressure from the school, the camp director, and maybe even her husband said, well, maybe he still should regardless. And so when she talked to me, she said, I know who to talk to. So she called me, and we talked about it. I said, listen, your son is 6 years old, yes, but he's telling you, Mom, I'm willing to, delve into my talents a little bit, but I just want to do it with you. He didn't want to go to camp. I said, trust me, listen to him right now. He's young enough where, you can pretty much nurture his abilities. When he gets to the age where he can show or demonstrate it to someone else, fine. And in fact, the only one he needs to demonstrate it to may be school, but anywhere else, don't force him. Listen to what he's saying. He knows what he's doing, And sure enough, got feedback from the mom. Yep, she felt good about it because it relieved her, listening to her son. And he's doing exceptionally well. This boy is 6 years old, and he's doing math at a fourth grade level.
Wow.
Building the confidence, doing it all. Yes.
Wow. You are listening to Conscious Parenting. Today we're talking about effective ways to educate boys. It can be done if you're willing to do things differently. And this change that we're going through education in our personal lives globally, it's really about us stepping into a new way of being, interdependency. We need to come together and support one another. And if you don't have somebody, you can say, well, I don't live with my family, I don't have anybody. Well, just set the intention that and create that. Create that so that the shift will be a lot easier. It can be done. Mm-hmm. It can be done. The number is 347-426, 3346, 347-426, 3346. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the older boys as well as homeschooling, because there's a lot of misconception about homeschooling. And Michelle Brown Stafford is going to be dropping some knowledge, and not just knowledge, wisdom, because wisdom is knowledge experience. She has experienced what she knows, and now she's sharing it with the world. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 on your keypad. Did I say that number right? I don't know. You know the number. Just call in. Press 1. We'll be back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversations, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy this show, and even if everything doesn't, they're supposed to be doing what they need to do, doesn't cooperate, just be still and just know it will correct itself. Don't panic. All is well. We all need silence. Woo, that was a little bit scary to tell the truth, but all is well. Yes, you're listening to Conscious Parenting. We're talking about effective ways to educate boys. We've got a question, we've got a caller, but before we do that, I want to share, and Harley in the chat room was saying this, and I want Michelle to speak to this as well. We're going to get through everything, Michelle. We are. Trust me, we will.
Okay.
But Harley in the chat room said, when she said her son's attention span is very, very short, she said she didn't mean it in a negative way. She just meant I'm not. She said she's not sure if it's sticking. Well, do you want to speak to that? The fact that they haven't.
That's a good point too. And you know what? Especially at two, I didn't get a lot of feedback from my son either that it was sticking. The thing is, I just kept exposing him to it. You know, made it more repetitive. And every now and again, I would get something. I would, you know, take cues from him that he understood, and I moved on to the next thing. But that's a very good point, because a lot of parents have said the same thing. It's like, look, he's two and a half or three or what have you. Now, actually, by 3 years old, there definitely should be a way that a child communicates to you that they understand. But even if you're working with, let me give you an example. We had started with working with the fingers with Stephen at about two and a half. Now, there was some times that he could, of course, answer with his fingers. I'll be honest with you. He didn't say much, but yeah, he will respond with answering with the fingers. Now, I know that you wonder how that makes sense, but it did. And with workbooks, now I started using, we went from the fingers onto some fun workbooks. They have them out there for preschoolers as well. He could answer this. He started to talk a little more. In fact, I don't know what happened between two and a half and three. The kid wasn't saying much of anything at two. All of a sudden, at three, he's asking me why is the sun or the moon following us. But anyway, by three years old, he couldn't write. It got to the point to where his verbal ability outpaced his fine motor skills. And so when he was able to, you know, like I said, verbal and answer, speak and answer, I had to fill in the what's the name for him. Because it was kind of like you had to wait for everything else to kind of develop, you know what I mean? So just start off just doing, expose him to different things. He will let you know one way or the other, that he understands. The thing is, you have to be real astute and kind of tune into it. But that's a very good question, because a lot of parents have asked that too.
And I would say this as well. Go ahead.
So, I was going to say, and then you got a lot of time. Here's the thing. We're talking between the age of two and four. So trust me, you will get feedback during those ages, you know. So just relax and have fun with it.
I like that. You've got time for it to stick. You just got to
start.
Yeah,
for it to stick. There you go, yeah.
And I think in addition to, we've got to really start looking at children differently and understand and ask ourselves, where did they come from? I mean, the idea that we think they're just empty, they don't know anything, they don't have any information, it's doing us a disservice. We need to understand they are created from the creative life force that we call God. Yeah. Some people call it God. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different names. And whatever you can have about it, you can have about it. But if you really want to educate your children to be emotionally balanced, responsible adults, you got to look at every part of them. Know that some of them, they know how to play their father and their mother at a very young age before they can talk. So things are sticking. Yeah. They know what they want. If they don't want to drink, if they don't want food, they'll say no or shake their head or spit it out. They know. So we have to see the greatness in them and work and support the greatness that they are already, as if we are putting this information into their head. What we really should be doing is thinking about drawing out the genius that's already in them through what we know. From our experience, you know?
Wow. You're not a parent, right?
Only to the kids of the universe.
Wow. Very good. Excellent. Yes. Very good.
Let's take a call. Okay. Well, let's see here. Ooh, well, we're just going to do this. Celeste, you had your hand up. You're alive.
Now, yep.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'll do this quick. I see your time. My sister, Michelle, I enjoy you so much.
Hi, Celeste.
Yeah, nice to hear from you as well today. But I'll just do this quick. I had this experience this morning, and a little princess is walking by me right now. I'm outside. Hi, Olivia. Okay, so I am noticing, Michelle, and check this out, and you know, for everybody else who's listening, I wonder if you are noticing young boys and actually girls who are not walking around with notebooks or books for school. I've been catching this. I've been paying attention to this because when I see young people with things in their hands, that actually has been catching my attention. So this morning on my way to work, there was this young brother, of course, I was rushing, you know, I was like, move, dude, because they move slow, they stroll. And but then I chilled out, and I was like, wait a minute, what does he have in his hand? He had art supplies, Michelle. It was so beautiful. I was so happy. I told him, I was like, you are the most beautiful sight this morning.
Yes.
And of course, man child looks at me like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, dude, please. I jumped on the train. I blessed him in his artwork, and I just wanted to give him a shout-out that a day doesn't give. Just to say, I saw creativity this morning, and
that's
he was really happy and thanked me.
Oh, that makes me feel good. Yeah. I love it.
So I'm done.
I think.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sweetie.
Yes.
See, that's good. Yes. I like hearing that.
Indeed. And there's more of that, and we've got to share it. We don't do shout-outs, like, let's just know. But she did shout-out. That's fine. But we don't do shout-out. But if we did, I'm going to do this. Betty wants to do a shout-out, but we don't do shout-outs. But if we did, Betty said she wants to send a shout-out to Tia Johnson in Philadelphia. Tia, we don't do shout-outs, but if we did, we'll send a shout-out. So let's through this thing for teenage boys. We're going to go through it. We're going to make it happen.
Yeah.
So you're talking about supporting teenage boys.
Yeah, for the older boys, tweens and teenagers, yeah. The thing is, what I always suggest with parents, especially the whole, and not just me, but other experts too, here's the thing. If you have a young man that has a problem sitting still, and apparently this is a serious thing, especially in those tween years, when they sit down to do their homework or have the study sessions or what have you, how about this? Now, for the boys who can sit still, then obviously it's not a problem for them. But those who can't, listen, like they were saying, new way of thinking. Did you know that it's good for boys to actually take a break? Actually, it's good for any kid to take a break during study sessions because it kind of allows for the brain to recalibrate itself, especially if they're struggling with something that's kind of hard for them to comprehend or what have you. They need a break, just like you do. Think about yourself when you are, you know, engaged in something that's a little bit, I don't know, challenging. But with boys especially, and they also now, I don't like to liken them to ADD kids, but no, they also recommend this for ADD kids or ADHD kids, let them study at intervals of 15, 20 minutes or what have you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to put it out here, Ade. During the day, it said Stephen did not want to go to, because we were also a part of a homeschooling network of groups where we, you know, they had enrichment classes with other kids. Well, they said he didn't want to go there. We actually had a lot of breaks where this kid played chess. We played chess. Or we actually played the video games. Now, I know you all going to hear, I can just imagine what the parents are thinking. We actually played video games. I played with him, and I enjoyed it. I'm an old gamer, okay, so whatever. But no, I actually played with him. But you would be surprised when he came back to the table, we got back to the material. I mean, we went through it like you would not believe. The kid retained it, and we moved on. I mean, we had a lot of days like that. So yeah, allow them to just, you know, study in increments or intervals or what have you. Let them have a little break. As long as they get the work done, what's the problem? What's the problem?
That's right.
So that's the first thing. The next one I would like to just talk about, and it's real quick, but never restrict your son's learning. Now, I'm going to say repeat that. Never restrict your son's learning. Now, boys, again, we're just talking about the proclivity of male energy, okay? They like movement. And I'm going to tell you, not just my son, but some boys that I've coached, and I hear the other parents say the same thing, especially if it's a smart kid, oh, my God, a smart boy, he hates to just, regurgitate the same thing over and over again. In fact, I had gone to one of the radio personalities here in Atlanta asked me to go to one of his conferences he was having, a community event, I'm sorry, And there was a teacher there saying the same things because they were putting together some kind of, you know, community tutoring program. His advice to the tutors was the same thing as what I'm saying. Listen, once a kid learns something, move them on to the next thing. I mean, I don't get this whole notion of drill and kill. They call it drill and kill or what have you. But the thing is, we're talking about fresh young minds, eager minds here. And the sooner you move them on to the next thing, the better. Now, it's not to say that you can't go back and enrich or reinforce. That's fine. But we're talking about moving when the son is ready, when your son is ready, okay? So
right.
Now, that also kind of brings me to the next thing, Ade. And this is the whole thing of, okay, if you have a kid who's bored in class. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I will say this very diplomatically, okay? I understand that there are families out there producing academic powerhouses. And you know how they're doing it? Well, when those kids come home, believe it or not, the kids they have other things lined up for them that allows them to learn at their own true level. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Let's say you have a kid who comes home, and this has happened to us when Stephen was enrolled in a public school, okay? Kid finished homework 10 minutes. I'm like, what do you mean 10 minutes? Because he had said he was done. I'm like, you got to be kidding. We just got home, you know. But anyway, so these parents actually had other things for their kids to do. I mean, they had exposed them to resources at A that went beyond the local school district. And so these are also the same kids that they're always testing in the 90 percentiles of the standardized test or, you know, make up the dominant enrollment at the elite colleges and universities because their parents recognize, yes, this is a system and we're going to honor it, the public school system, yes, but we right. also have our own learning system at home. So here's the thing. Get one of those, again, a computer program that's at your child's grade level or higher. If you know that your child is pretty much, you know, has mastered most of the things in their grade levels already, believe it or not, it happens, trust me, or the stuff is easy. You can get the grade level for them to just go through, okay, yeah, to make sure that they know it, that's fine. But if you have a gifted learner or accelerated learner, get the next grade, all right? That's the first thing. That's for a computer program. Then the Internet is full of all kind of resources. Guys, you will not believe. There are instructors that are involved in putting together free videos, free worksheets. I mean, these people are passionate about education. And their thing is they understand your local school, it may be restricted in what they can offer your child. But when you look on the Internet, you will not believe. It's just a plethora of things
right.
that your child can learn.
Right.
So that's the other thing. Okay, you want to chime in?
No, just go for it. Do your thing.
Okay.
Do your thing.
All right.
I can't be quiet sometimes.
Okay. Here's the other thing, guys. Now, we talked about literacy skills, preschool on up. Well, actually, now we're going to deal with the on up. Here's the thing. You want to, again, increase in rigor what your child or your son reads. All right? So we talked about early reader books when they're in their preschool years. But let that, you know, advance that. Encourage a trip to the bookstore once a week or the library because it's obviously it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. But don't fret if your son grabs something that's more action-based or happens to do with his, his favorite comic book character or whatever. And let me tell you why. The issue of boys reading nowadays is so deep and dire that the experts are saying, look, we just want them to read. I mean, let them find something that they like to read because you're still engaging the reading process. All the things that are involved in reading comprehension, the phonetics, all that stuff is still happening, you know, connecting to the material on the page. That is still going on if your son is reading. So you just want to get that started first, and then you can parlay that into academics. It'll be much easier then, okay? So let me give you all this resource, too. It's www.guysread.com. I love that resource for parents of sons. And here's another one. For the older boys, again, just to get them started immediately, fanfiction.net is another. And these are both, obviously, they're both free. So, check those things out. Look at what they have to say about, you know, boys reading and getting your son engaged in reading. Fan fiction is just a collaboration of a lot of authors who've gotten together to kind of write their own stories about cartoon characters and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is boys love it, okay? The older boys love it.
Yeah,
and last thing, I know because we're going to – oof, this is – the last thing real quick. guys, parents, your sons who, and I'm telling you, this is another thing that's affecting our boys, because we talked about this last time with the mom who said, you know, she was having an issue with the son stealing money or whatever. You've got to engage your son outside of the classroom. What do I mean when I say that? Here's the thing. If you have a discussion with your son about what they want to do in life, a future occupation, start gathering the resources right now. I mean it. I mean enrichment classes, camps, hobbies, extracurricular programs. Like Morehouse has some really cool things for in Atlanta for boys who want to get into medicine. I think it's boys and girls, but for your sons who want to get into medicine, check the different courses in your – well, actually, let's just do this. Start with your local schools and find out what kind of resources that they have available. Go to your counselor's office and see what they have, or check the internet. But the bottom line is you will be giving your son an outlet outside of school, and you will keep him on a steady pace to his future occupation. That's the thing. You want to keep him, you know, interested in his future. And so, yeah, enrolling him in things like that and talking to him about it and lining up the resources, trust me, I mean, that's how we got this kid thinking about his own company and becoming a computer programmer. At least that's one of the things he wants to do. But yes. that's my point. Yeah. Okay? That's for the older boys.
You got to start young, and you're listening to Conscious Parenting. It's about consciously parenting. Not only are you parenting your children, you're parenting yourself, because you're teaching yourself
yes,
to
you
do
are.
Things differently. It's, you know, you got to put in the effort. You got to ask yourself, what do you want? And before we go, Michelle, I want you to speak to the whole idea of teaching the value of education in everyday life. You know, maybe take about a minute to talk about that, because sometimes young boys don't see the correlation between school and what's happening in real life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, did you want me to go ahead and answer that now?
Sorry.
Uh-huh. No, that's my point. That was my point in mentioning the last thing. Whatever it is that they want to do, you got to talk to them about it. We started talking about college with our kids when they were, believe it or not, kindergartners. We explained to them it's best that they can understand what it was all about. And then as they got older, you know, we would go to, they used to have a listing of the best colleges in the country. We would go and see which one of our colleges were like, you know, number one or two or what have you. We talked about what it would be like to, you know, go to college. And then we also talked about what they want to do when they grow up. And then, believe it or not, I took them to the library. We looked up how much that particular occupation paid and the level of education that's involved. And this is something that you're right, you have to instill it in their consciousness every day or every other day or what have you. But you have to make room for it. And then I know that sounds really weird because you're like setting the tone in the home again with this. But you have to make it real for them and yourself, actually, because, you know, hey, you got to line up the resources for it. This is you talk about going to the movies or what have you, you know, somehow start a conversation about it. You know, okay, you said you want to do this, but how, you know, they got this thing going on over here at this particular church or this school. Are you interested? You know, that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, you're right. You got to satisfy that whole occupation thing and making money, especially with young boys.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Conscious Parenting with Michelle Brown Stafford every last Wednesday of the month. And you can find out more about Michelle Brown Stafford by going to her website, giftedspirit.com, gifted-spirit.com. You can get a lot of resources and information on there. You can track it down. Michelle, thank you so much for
thank you, Ade.
For the courage
thank you,
to be the voice of change.
Oh, thank you, Ade. I love what I do, and I appreciate you as well, and the audience. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. We feel the love. We feel the love. It's about doing things differently, and parenting is the highest form of spiritual practice. It doesn't matter if you're religious or spiritual or atheist. If you're a parent, commit to raising another human being who will make you proud in the future. I don't care if you believe in God or not or religion, whatever. Who cares? That's just belief system. It's a whole lot of BS that we can blow away and create a new way of thinking. It's about life. It's about love. It's about living right now. I will be back at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today for Ancestral Blueprints. Join me and Lisa Iverson. It's going to be fun. We're talking about soul time versus linear time. Some of us are getting stuck, and 2012 is 4 months away. Woohoo! See you later. We'll be back. Peace and blessings.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move. Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.